Good morning. My name is Tommy Doyle.
And I'm Steve Raymond.
Today is Monday, March 26th, 2018. Volatility is still here, Steve.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, when we see markets really move around on Friday, we know that that tends to be part one of the story.
Yeah.
You know, part two of the story is usually Monday. And you know, Monday we have seen some good bounces. You know, certainly from the early morning up to when we're filming here, which is also considered morning. But a lot can happen. So we expect to keep on top of things through the week. But some relatively big moves, and some stocks that are not bouncing today. We see some things that are it's not all good. What would be one of those stories?
Facebook would be the prime culprit of that situation. Down about 6% today. We saw a violate trend. We put that in the report last week, kind of as a stop loss around 160 for a lot of you all. We've seen it fall further to the bottom of the 10-week trading band down to 150. That's putting it around summer 2017 levels, around that kind of support. But this is a name that continues to move to the downside. We're continuing to see supply flood in and gain strength here at this particular point. Two consecutive sell signals. It's just not looking good for Facebook at this point in time. But we are seeing a lot of the other stuff bounce, as Steve said, at least momentarily. We could see another bad end to the day. We're seeing things bounce today on good news hopefully for the trade wars and the tariffs and whatnot going on. Friday was ugly. Friday was tough, especially there at the end. But we did see a lot of the key indicators hold up, which is very, very positive, right? So we saw the bullish percent for the New York Stock Exchange, BP, NYSE, for example. That stayed in X's. I was able to hold that level today. Hopefully this is going to help that uplift at least stay in X's. Offense is still on the field at this point. So that was nice. And we saw kind of the same different picture happen.
Let me make a point on the NYSE. The NYSE and some of the other big indicators, OTC and some others, do have a heavy dominance in small caps as well as some large caps. And we have seen some improvement in the average small cap asset, and you could say definitely so in small growth. But when you put those two together, you've got some upticks, in March for small caps, and I think that's part and parcel of what keeps that NYSE, holding on there, which is good to see. We like to see the average stock, or you could say we like to see small caps participate. That helps, build some confidence in the breadth of the economic outlook. And so the NYSE is holding in there, and we'll continue to monitor that story. I will say, from an ETF or a mutual fund, or you could say, a portfolio point of view, small growth is a leader when you consider U.S. Asset class styles. And they have a small growth funds running around 460 in score right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, and we talk about the quilts a lot, or I do with JG and Paul when we're on the videos. If we look at those size and style boxes in terms of performance, that quilt on the year using those spider funds as proxies, small growth is the only one that's still in the black, and it's at the top of the boards. That's SLYG. It was one of those. It was one of the worst performers last year so far. It's doing the best, which was just as of a day change. That can obviously have a lot of room to change moving forward. But we are seeing, to Steve's point, from the mutual fund side and the ETF side as well, we're seeing small growth kind of carry the way at this point in time.
Yeah, and let's make a point too to that, which is small growth along with microcaps are the most volatile of the U.S. styles. So if you think of our risk, if you think of the relative risk of those styles to the bigger classes.
Which, what is that for people that don't know?
Relative risk is going to be the standard deviation of the asset we're talking about versus the standard deviation of the market. And so what we're looking for there is really true volatility. And small growth and microcaps are among the higher of those volatilities. I'm getting to the point, though. The point is when people are nervous about this market, they sell sometimes the higher risk things first,
right?
And the least consistent or the more variance, they get that out of the way first, and then they start thinking about the bigger things they might want to get rid of. Well, in matter of fact, in this particular part of the turbulence, meaning over the last 100 and some hours, the small caps didn't really sell off at all.
Right.
In fact, on a relative point of view, you could say they upticked. So what that's saying is the risk-on aspect is applying to the U.S. styles. People are, you know, so far don't want to let go of those small caps. And for that reason, it helps, you know, stabilize, you know, other things that we follow that we'll probably get to here. But I think the key point to walk away from is small caps are, you know, helping hold this game together, even though we have seen some large cap, you know, distress signals, you know, right. A few here and there. You know, if you look at the BP of the S&P 500, there's a few sell signals there. But the overall breadth, the BPMYC, you know, we're holding in there, you know, and we'll need to monitor that. But I think that's a bit of a good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else have we seen with scores?
Well, the... I guess we'll get into the idea of core percentile rank. The core percentile rank metric we follow measures how strong the S&P 500 types of portfolios are compared to all the asset classes around the world. And, you know, that reading's come down a little bit, you know, in this turbulence, but it's still at 70, which means that the S&P 500, the core of the U.S. market, is at the 70th percentile against all assets around the world. And I would call that, you know, that, you know, we have a name for that. It's called dominant, you know, dominant reading over the landscape. You know, the core of the market's still holding in strong. You know, there would be areas stronger than the core of the market. Maybe we'll cover a few of those. And there might always be some areas stronger than the core. But the idea of you want a strong core that also provides consistency and stability, to the equity market. And we're doing pretty good right here at 70. You know, we'll continue to monitor that. You know, if levels go below 50 and we start to talk about that kind of a story, I think then we'll bring up other issues because the story will be a different story,
right?
You know, as you get down there.
And you've got kind of for relativity 70%. We saw these kind of levels back in August through October of last year. So 70% is a nice level. We also saw it go to mid-60s in the February pullback of 2016. So 70% above, to Steve's point, is a healthy level, a dominant level, like you said. So that's something that we like to see, especially anything greater than that moving forward.
Yeah, another interesting point is our money market percentile rank. Now, that takes the same schema of trying to get a percentile rank of an asset versus all asset classes around the world. The money market percentile rank, you know, measures how strong cash is versus all these options you have to invest in all over the world. And interestingly, on this particular window of turbulence, the big down day, you know, over the last couple of days last week, and of course we don't know today's readings. You know, today's readings are always known tonight. But you know, pretty severe price depression, and the money market percentile rank actually downticked. Downtick. Now, I might need to explain that because some people would say, well, shouldn't it uptick? You know, prices come down somewhere, you know, a little bit of stress on the market, maybe the money market percentile rank should rise. In context of this year, this is not what we've been seeing. What happened is some of the good bond funds and core bond funds and short duration funds that are deemed high quality are also rate sensitive. That's part A to the story. Right. They went below the money market in the earlier part of the year, causing the money market to rise a little bit. On this particular disturbance, they stabilized. So your short duration treasury funds and so forth uptick just ever so slightly, but at least enough to get above money market.
Right.
And what that does is it causes the money market percentile rank to go down. So just wanted to clear explanation on that. The money market percentile rank did downtick.
And so right now it's 14%, 16% is what we've seen. You know, last year people were comfortable seeing that between 2 and 5. So it is certainly higher, but you know, if we look back again, try to give some relative perspective. In a nice market like 2013, we saw it go up to 25. In a choppy or a little bit more ugly time frame, like August of 15 through February of 16, we saw it get above the 50% level. So it is a little bit higher. It's just important to know what groups, to Steve's point, are ranking below that. And at this point, it's a lot of fixed income, treasury related things.
Still is. The amount of equity groups below money market is very, very light. You know, you're talking about utilities, possibly real estate, but you know, the headcount of equity below money market is very low. In fact, the headcount of equity above money market is very strong. You know, you still have the leaders of internet technology and U.S. small growth and some non-U.S. groups, you know, that have not really shifted and haven't shown they're giving up anything, quite frankly. And that keeps the picture of, I think, you know, most of our models pretty stable.
Right.
You know, if, you know, our models aren't changing, someone might ask why. Well, they're not changing that much because the market fabric's not changing where the leadership is.
Exactly.
And so we don't expect models to change for no reason. But you know, what you have is a picture of things holding in pretty strong here. You have seen mutual fund sell signals, you know, kind of stack up, you know, we're on a short-term basis. This is back to more absolute thought, absolute talking. And the BPMU zero, which many of you follow, has made its way down to 38%, basically coming off the top of the year around 94%. So we have lost a lot of signals on the short-term mutual funds charts. That brings you back to levels, like you mentioned, you know, in 2016, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been about a year and a half, so you kind of wake up and say, hey, how's this feel like? But that's how these indicators go. You know, they go high, they go low, they go high, they go low. We just get used to it because it's part of life. But right now, your momentums and your sell signals have stacked up to the point where they're getting down to lower field position, which really is good news in this context. If relative strength stays strong, and the leaders that we know, and some of the other indicators go low, it tends to give you a buying opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. It tends to open up a window to say, hey, you know, I wanted to get in some of these things. Well, you know, the window's open. So that's right. That's how you want to take a look at that.
And we wait for those things to, again, reverse back up.
Right.
The X's know that indeed some sort of bottom, near term, whatever, has indeed happened before we start pulling the trigger on those things. The other interesting thing, kind of the last thing I think to mention would be we've seen in the short term an uptick in commodities. If you look at all the groups on asset class group scores, so all 134 groups, commodities is within the top 10 on a score direction perspective, so improvement, deterioration related over the past 6 months. We've seen commodities uptick on about 3/4 of a point. And we've also seen it increase signals in Dolly. So shifting gears from asset class group scores over to the Dolly tool, we've seen that gain some signals. It's still comfortably in third place. We saw that on Friday jump from 157 to 164 in terms of the buy signals it's accumulated. It's still well off from number two and number one, international and domestic equities respectively, up near the 300 mark. So it's about 150 signals, give or take, away from those two, but it's distancing itself from fixed income. So that is kind of suggesting the same thing that we're seeing kind of across the board, to Steve's point, risk on things moving up in rank, holding their rank, and more risk off defensive things continuing to get a little bit weaker.
Yeah, and you know, the only fine point maybe to add to that is that, you know, also this year we saw a difference in commodities versus commodity related stock. They're not the same group.
Right.
And the commodities portion of this would be non-correlated to the equity market, whereas the commodity related stock has correlation to the market. And I think that, you know, just to refine this, it's the commodity aspect, the non-correlated commodity aspect, that we're seeing some of this improvement in under the stress test of some market turbulence. You know, what you have and what was just pointed out is, you know, commodities have moved to about the ninth position in right. score direction, and that's, you know, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
You know, to see, you know, to see a big non-correlated asset get that strong. So it might be something that, you know, as you're always looking for alternative and maybe other types of ideas to, you know, break up the correlation as you're in turbulent markets, it might be an idea.
Yeah, and if you look to Ben's piece from last week on the alternative assets update, a lot of those things that are improving have been oil related. So he took a look at the crude oil continuous chart, CL slash, did a bullish triangle, looks beautiful. That's been one of the things that's kind of pumping up commodities if we look under the hood a little bit.
Yeah, you got to keep your options open.
Keep them open. Anything else?
No, I think we're in good shape. Other than the fact, I want to reiterate a point that we made maybe 5 minutes ago, maybe 10, which is, you know, as the MOSPX, the momentum for the S&P 500, you know, that chart has moved down into, you know, the 20, 30 areas, 20 actually, and the, you know, the mutual fund bullish percent for short term, you know, chart signals. In other words, we mentioned that they're in O's, they've come down, and I guess the idea is you want to watch these indicators because you definitely want to, you know, take that offense if those indicators reverse up.
Yeah.
You might even make a case for taking offense before they do. But I'd make the case if they reverse up and you don't take offense, you know, you could get left behind. So, you know, so these indicators have given us what I would call the second shot in 2018.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at them, the second shot in 2018 to, you know, say, hey, look, you know, let's get an allocation together and let's go talk to our clients. And, you know, we've been talking back and forth about, you know, good opportunities to buy. And of course, you know, you're right in one here.
Right.
And, you know, so the time to, you know, spend a little extra time per day, you know, building up your story, you know, looking at the evidence, and then bringing that evidence to your clients, you know, this is a great time, you know, as we head for April.
Yeah. The MOSPX down below 30. Be sure to set that alert so you don't miss it when it does reverse up and have a game plan in place.
Yeah.
With that, we'll see you next week.